All right, let's turn this morning to St. Mark chapter 4. We're going to be in verses 35 through 41. I very much like the freedom that comes with not being tied down to sermon series and messages and things like that. I like to hear the fresh word from the Lord. And over the last couple of weeks, I have been seeking the Lord along those lines. There's so many things that are going on right now. There's a lot of things going on right now in our world. Things that are disturbing, things that are troubling, things that are making, they're just making me uncomfortable. And if I can just be honest with you, I think it's been awfully easy as of late to say, where's God? Has he not noticed what's going on around here? Is he not paying any attention to what's happening? Does he even care what's going on? I see so many people facing truly tremendous storms in their lives. We're facing storms in our government. We're facing storms in our lives. We're facing storms because the government is in our lives. It's like storms on top of storms. And these storms seem to be far beyond our ability to navigate, let alone to control. And it's at these times that we look to God and we wonder why. Where are you? Why doesn't God move? I mean, let's be honest. If he's God, he should be able to fix all this stuff really pretty quickly. The disciples would find themselves in a very similar situation. In these last couple of weeks, the Lord's been speaking to me about this situation, and about this event that we're going to read, and so I want to share that with you today. We'll pick up in verse 35 of Mark 4. That day when evening came, he said to the disciples, "Let's go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. And there were also other boats with him. And a furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. Disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" And he got up and he rebuked the wind. And he said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." And the wind died down and it was completely calm. And he said to the disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Let's pray. Father, help me to share your truth with your people. Father, help me to encourage them today and build them up. Father, help me to reveal what you're saying in this hour and to show us where we are. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to paint the scene for you because I want you to understand what has happened just before so you can kind of get a picture of what's going on. Jesus' ministry at this point is really starting to ramp up. He's drawing much larger crowds than he was in the beginning. You might remember often Jesus in the early days, he would heal people and he would say, "Go, but don't tell anybody what's happened." Well, why would he say that? Because it diminished his ability to have one-on-one ministry with people. See, what happens is, it would happen to any person, you know, every person you laid your hand on got healed, within a week you'd be on national news, and you wouldn't have your life to yourself anymore. So what's happened to him? The time has come now where every time he goes somewhere and begins to speak, large crowds come around him, and that's what's happened this day. If you just skip up to verse 1. Again, in Mark 4, again, Jesus began to teach by the lake, and the crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got in a boat and set out on the lake, while the people were along the seashore, the water's edge. And so what's happened is he's come and started to speak, and so many people are crowding around him that he actually gets on a boat and goes out a little ways, and then the whole shoreline begins to fill up with all the people that want to hear what he's saying. Where we pick up, just a few minutes ago, we picked up verse 35, and it said, that day when evening came. And so, again, to paint the picture, I don't know what time he started preaching, but he's now been preaching a good chunk of the day. He's been out there a long time. There's little doubt that by now he's tired. And I want you to notice that it's Jesus who says, let's go to the other side. This wasn't a half-baked idea by, you know, a couple of guys who thought, well, this will be good. This was Jesus saying, let's go to the other side. Cross the sea. See, he's in the city, and across the sea, it's going to be much smaller. There won't be a lot of people there, and he's looking for some rest. And leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. And there were other boats with him. They took him just as he was. It's an interesting statement. I want you to see that he was tired. They took him just as he was. You know, sometimes you've been busy and you think, well, let's go get a bite to eat and let's do this. No, we're just gonna go. We're in the boat already. Let's just go. I think often it's easy for us to forget the humanity of Jesus. He was tired. Simply put, he was spent. There was nothing left. And the disciples already had their instructions from him. Let's go to the other side. Well, okay, we're already in the boat. Let's go. Jesus needed rest. But his so typical with people. See, when they begin to see the miraculous and they begin to see genuine teaching that touches your heart, they begin to head out, and you know, it's the shore, right? There's other boats there, and people go, you know, we better follow him because we're going to miss whatever's going to happen next. And so it's like he's heading out, and all these little groupies want to join with him and head out and follow him. And so they jump in boats too. Now, I want you to remember just a couple of things. First off, Jesus is a prophet. We know that. But he was more than just a prophet. See, Jesus was the Son of God. That means he was all-knowing. In John 1:48, he tells Nathanael, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Well, that'll get your attention. Jesus knew who his betrayer was well before the betrayal ever even happened. John 6:70. He knew that Peter would fall away from him that night. And what's interesting is he restores Peter before the event even ever happens. Luke 22:32. And when he gave orders to the disciples to go to the other side of the sea, he knew a fierce storm was coming. He knew that. This wasn't a surprise to him. Well, golly, if he knew, shouldn't he have waited? I mean, that just doesn't seem terribly insightful, does it? You know a big storm's coming, so you climb in a boat and go to sleep? I want you to understand something. Yes, that would have made more sense from your perspective, from the way you see things, from the way we see things. He doesn't see things the way we see things. He has a different perspective. He knows the beginning from the end. Maybe in your eyes that would have made more sense, but not in his. You have to understand something. His time on earth was very short. I mean, comparatively very short. He had a lot to accomplish. And in this storm, not only would his humanity be revealed, but also his deity would be revealed. And this is the second thing I want you to remember. Jesus, God, Holy Spirit, the Bible, None of these, not a single one, ever promised that you would not go through a storm in your life. You won't find it in there. In fact, what you will find is quite the opposite. Jesus told us to expect the storms. John 16:33, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And so they've set out in this boat to go to the other side to find rest. And people have jumped into other boats because they want to follow him. And then in verse 37, again Mark 4, a furious squall came up and waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. The ESV says it this way, and a great windstorm arose and the waves were breaking into the boat and the boat was filling, so that the boat was already filling. The Sea of Galilee is still known, for these storms that just seem to come up out of nowhere. They're violent. And we know that Jesus is on the boat with at least some of his disciples. And we know that at least some of his disciples were seasoned fishermen. This was their profession. It's what they did for a living. I can promise you, this was not their first rodeo. This was not their first time on a boat in a windstorm. This particular windstorm was different. The waves are starting to break over the sides, and the boat is filling up with water. And not a little bit of water, clearly, because they're starting to get fairly concerned. Clearly, the disciples would be doing all they knew how to do at this point in time to right the boat. Right? You bail water as fast as you can. You batten down the hatches. You bring the sail down. Ephesians 6:13, Paul says this. He says, take up the full armor of God so that you can withstand the evil day. And then, having done all, stand. I want you to know that's what the disciples are doing right now at this point. They know how to handle a boat on rough seas, and they're doing everything they know how to do. Problem is, it wasn't helping. The problem is, it wasn't getting better. The situation is becoming desperate, and I think we've all been in these situations where you're in a bit of a challenge. You're like, hold on, I got this. Well, maybe not all. Wow, this is really starting to get intense. Maybe I don't have this. And there's that point in the process where you start to think you might be in over your head just a little bit. This is no longer a challenge or a test of their seamanship. This has now become life and death. In verse 38. And Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. Really? And the disciples woke him and said, Teacher, don't you care if we drown? In the midst of all this, Jesus is sleeping. He's in the back of the boat, sleeping, on a cushion. It's not even a function of him not caring. He's not even awake. Doesn't even seem to be aware of the trouble. And think of the picture again, the boat being violently tossed back and forth. And the truth is, they're actually going to have to wake him up. I hope that paints some kind of picture. He's really just sleeping. It's not like he rolled out of bed and go, hey, what's going on around here? They had to go wake him up. Psalm 4:8 says this. It says, in peace, I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Proverbs 3:24. If you lie down, you will not be afraid. And when you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. It's like Jesus is just walking in God's promises. They're sleeping in them, I guess, maybe. I think this is how people feel today in some ways. Lord, don't you care? Don't you care that our country seems to be overrun? Don't you care that it seems like the enemy is winning? Don't you care about what's happening in my life? What's going on? And then in verse 39, Jesus got up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." And the wind died down and it was completely calm. And he said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" What an odd rebuke. Why are you afraid? Like, you're knee-deep in water right now inside the boat. We lost the sail a half a mile back. That cushion you were just sleeping on just blew away. Why are we afraid? Again, they were looking with their eyes, not his eyes. They were seeing with their eyes. I don't know if you understand. That boat, that night, was the safest place on the face of the earth. There was no other place in the planet that was as safe as that boat that night. Why would I say that? Because there was absolutely no shot that boat was going down that night. None. Why? Because it wasn't his time. He had a destiny and things to accomplish, and there was no chance he was going to go down early. Now, I want you to remember, there's other boats that tried to follow him. Okay, I'm not going to try to speak to those other boats. I don't know. But the boat Jesus was on, totally safe. And that's why this passage becomes so powerful. See, the apostles' lack or apparent lack of faith reminds us that even those who lived with him and walked with him, who saw his miracles with their own eyes, who heard his teaching with their own ears, even they would find it difficult to be totally in faith 100% of the time. And it's largely because we see with our eyes and not his eyes. I want you to know that those disciples are a lot like us, or maybe we're a lot like them. That day, their lack of faith was rebuked. And by extension, today our lack of faith is also rebuked. And I say that because if Jesus is able to rescue his disciples from a storm, certainly he's able to rescue you from your storm, no matter how serious it is. Their storm was life and death. That wasn't a problem for him. Your storm might be life or death. It's not a problem. Maybe it's sickness. Maybe it's job loss. Maybe problems in your marriage. Maybe it's this crazy government. Guys, maybe it's the sting of death. 1 Corinthians 15:55. It doesn't matter. Jesus never promised we wouldn't have trouble. But here's what he did promise. He promised he would never leave us or forsake us. Hebrews 13:5. He promised he would be with us even to the end of the age. Now, those disciples would never see the end of the age. I don't know if we will, but our odds are better than theirs. What I'm trying to help you understand is it wasn't just limited to them. It carries forward to us as well. You find that in Matthew 28:20. Never promised you wouldn't have any storms in your life, but he did promise he would be with you in the boat. And friends, I need to remind you, that boat is the safest place you can be. Simply put, that boat is not going down with him on it. This past week, I felt like that's been the word of the Lord to me and to us as a church. I look at what's going on in the world, and I look at what's going on in the governments of the world, and I look what's going on with the people. And I wonder what's going on with God. And the Lord spoke to me. I put in the newsletter this week, sometimes it's more advantageous for you to know where you are rather than where you're going. See, I know I'm going to heaven. I'm here. Heaven's here. And I... But that's not God's plan. Right? You've seen the memes, right? It never works out the way you think. You ever been in one of those outdoor malls? I really am directionally dyslexic. Like, it's not good. And we'll be in one of those outdoor malls, and I'll find one of those little signs that says, "You are here," and it's like, hallelujah. Now where's my car? But you see this little dot, and it says, "You're here." And you can start to grab your bearings. I felt like that's what God has said. You're here. This passage, you're here. What's happening in this passage, this is where you are right now. Where's here? It's in the boat. It's in the middle of a violent storm. And if you're paying attention, I mean, I'm not asking you to look for darkness, but most people in their lives sense something's dreadfully wrong. I can't find the peace I used to know. There's a weight and a darkness that just seems to be lingering around. Friends, that's because it's a spiritual storm. It's not a natural storm. Natural storms come with wind and waves. Spiritual storms come with darkness. They come with depression. They come with weight. This is why so many of you feel like something's out of place. It's why there has been an increase in the pressures of the natural realm. So many little things, just tiny things, seem to be going wrong here and there. It's why many are experiencing really an unnatural depression. It's like, I'm depressed and I don't know why. I just want to stay in bed all day and I don't know why. You're in the middle of a spiritual storm. It's why joy seems a little bit harder to find right now. And so I think we have to ask, where is Jesus in the midst of this entire mess? He's sleeping in the back of the boat. And I feel like one of the disciples. I just want to walk back there and say, don't you even care that we're about to drown? Well, of course he cares, friends, but not about the wind and the waves. He cares about you. And that's the piece you need to understand. You're safe in the boat. You got to see things with his eyes. You can only see a thin sliver of the middle. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows all of it. And that's why he can sleep right now. He's not upset. He's not freaked out. He knows how it ends. Verse 39, Jesus got up and he rebuked the wind and he said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." And the waves died down and it was completely calm. This is the nature of these things. One minute, there's this huge storm going on. And the next minute, it's completely calm. In Christian circles, you know, there's lots of churchy words. Christian circles. Got to read the word. Got to get saved. The churchy word for what's happening here is a suddenly. Suddenly. One minute, it's storming. And the next minute, all of a sudden, everything's good. I want you to know something, friends. God is famous for his suddenlies. They are his signature mark. That is who he is. He operates. He works in suddenlies like some men work in oils. He is the master of suddenlies. They are a sign of his divine timing. He knows the proper time. And here's the reason he operates in those. Because, see, if the disciples had been able to right the boat, set everything upright, they would have taken the credit. When God moves, when he operates in a suddenly, no one takes the credit except him alone. It is clear it was his hand that moved, and there's no doubt that he's the one who made it happen. The problem is when those things come, and it's not really a problem, but it catches us off guard. It leaves us in shock and awe, and we kind of, it's like, whoa. Now, that's exactly what you find in verse 41. The disciples say, who is this? He commands even the wind and the water, and they obey him. God's timing in this particular situation was perfect, and there was a purpose to everything he was doing. That day, there would not be a sailor aboard who would take credit for what happened. This was the hand of God, and it was there for all to see, and his divinity was revealed. And friends, that's where you are today. It's where we are today. It's where our nation is at today. Yeah, there is a storm raging. And as the storm rages, just like the disciples, you know what you need to be doing? Everything you know how to do. You should be doing it all. If you know what? You get some buckets and start bailing. Start battening down the hatches. All hands on deck. And then, having done all, we stand. Having done all, I take my stand. I want you to remember something. The storm in all its violence is the precursor to a suddenly. It's what you see just before the suddenly comes. And that suddenly reveals God's divinity. What I mean by that is no one will take credit for it. What you see in our government now, when God reveals himself, no man will take credit for it. They won't be able to. And I know it's hard. Guys, man, I'm telling you, I know. I'm speaking from experience. I know what it's like to see the wind and to see the sails starting to give way and watch the hatch start to break free, the mast go. I know what it's like to be in storms and the boats filling with water. And I know what it's like to run around like crazy and then find Jesus asleep in the back of the boat. And it's like, where are you at? Why are you not? Do something. I know what it's like to stand there and wonder, don't you even care? But again, friends, I need to remind you, it's not the situation that he cares about. See, you're focused on the wind and the waves and all the stuff. He's not concerned about those things. He knows the beginning from the end. See, those situations, those outcomes, they're already set, they're already done, they're already finished. What he cares about is you. That's what he cares about. I just need to remind you, he hasn't brought you to this point for you to die here. And I think sometimes in the middle of all the wind and the waves and the water in the boat, we start thinking, I'm going to die here. He didn't bring you to this point in your life to have that happen. This, friends, if you can just extend your vision a bit, this is where we will see the Master reveal his glory. This is where he will move and you will see his divine nature come out. Suddenly he's appear at the peak of the storm. You saw it with Moses at the Red Sea. You saw it with Paul as they settle on the island of Malta. You're seeing it here in this passage. And if you'll faint not, you'll see it in your own life with your own eyes. I want to encourage you this morning. I know there's a lot of wind and waves going on. But don't be afraid. You were born for this very hour. You have come to the kingdom for this time. He picked you for this hour. You didn't just end up here somehow. And you haven't come to this hour to die. But I do think it's time to just take stock of a few things. Remember, there were a lot of boats on the sea that day. It does matter which boat you're in. It does. Step one, friends, make sure you're in his boat. Right? There is no sense suffering a lot of pain and sorrow and trouble if you're in the wrong boat. And then step two. You do need to take stock of your situation. Right? Sometimes God has told us to do things, and I don't want to. And now you found yourself in the results of the I don't want to. If you see the boat taken on water, get a bucket and start bailing. If you see the sails tearing, bring them down. There are things that we know to do. So step two is make sure you have truly done all. Have you done everything he's asked you to do? Is there anything he's asked you to do you've left undone? And if the answer is no, then take your stand. In faith, I've not come to this hour to die. I've come to this hour to conquer. I can promise you this, friends. If you're in his boat, it ain't going down. It might look bad, it might look rough, but it ain't going down. There's no safer place in the world to be than on his boat. Father, help us today, Lord. I ask for your strength, Lord, and your encouragement. Father, sometimes just a word from you is all we need to continue on the road that we're on. Sometimes, Lord, we just need to hear that we didn't miss the turn. Father, I pray that you would remember that we are but dust. I pray, Father, that you would remember that, like your son when he entered this world, we are fragile. We are easily shifted. Father, I pray that you would strengthen us in this hour. I pray, Father, that you would build in us a strength, a temper to our mettle, that we wouldn't easily be drifted back and forth by every wind of doctrine that comes. Father, I pray that you would help us to take our stand where you have called us. And Father, now we look for the suddenly. In our nation, Father, we look for the suddenly. In our lives, Father, we look for the suddenly. In our marriages, in our bodies, in our jobs, in our churches, in our towns, we look, Father, for your suddenlies. Father, by the grace that's in Jesus, Father, would you remember us? Father, and would you calm the storm in Jesus' name? Amen.